I'm Neil Wilkins, and welcome to the Mindful Living Show. So welcome to this webinar. This is user-generated content. And this is part of the Cambridge Marketing College apprenticeship support, so obviously in association with the college, and part of a series, really, a monthly series of hot topics that marketers and digital marketers and content producers are finding really resonating right now. There's a lot of change, a lot of stuff happening. And what I'm doing is picking up a lot of these topics, which are really quite pertinent for people in these kinds of roles to be thinking about right now. And user-generated content is not a new topic, but very interestingly, is one of those topics that we really probably should be putting into our mix of digital marketing planning and content strategy. So where does this idea of user-generated content fit? Well, it has been around for many, 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 many years. When we think about the evolution of content and kind of how that's sort of evolved over time, if we think right the way back to almost the dawn of websites, Web 1.0, as it was called, back in the 1990s, early part of the current millennium, we were thinking really about, you know, the ownership of content being in the hands of the marketer or the website owner or the business person. It wasn't really influenceable by the customer or any other stakeholders. So if you had a website and you were in charge of your digital content, you were in charge. And it was really quite simple. So the power was with the marketer. Now, of course, in the early part of the 2000s and through to around about sort of 2010 or so, we saw the emergence of something called Web 2.0, which in other words was social media and social networking. Now, the clue here, the big thing to unlocking this opportunity is the word social. Okay, so a very wise person once said to me, you know, the clue is in the name, don't forget it. And I've always remembered that because, you know, we think of social media as a promotional platform, as something to get engagement. But as marketers, we often think about it as being actually still all about us, even though, you know, of course, we are tasked with, you know, putting the customer first and thinking about the customer and what do they want to hear and shaping stuff all around that. But actually, the reality is that really what we're after is engagement. So social interaction became a big, big thing in the early part of the early 2000s. And to be honest, by the time we got to 2009, 2010, we'd kind of emerged into something which I would call, doesn't really exist, but it kind of, for me, it sort of says everything really, Web 2.1. So just a little bit of an evolution over and above the kind of social networking space. In terms of introduction of user-generated, what I would call social content, in other words, people, individuals, businesses, actually creating content of their own accord. So actually talking about you and your brand and what you're doing, probably without your interaction, and sometimes, if we're not paying attention, without our awareness as well. So this whole UGC thing, this whole user-generated content thing, became quite a big thing. So we're talking 10 to 12 years ago. So this is not a new thing, but still here today, a lot of organizations and a lot of marketers are not really including user-generated content as part of their digital marketing strategy or their content planning. And probably now is a time that you really should be taking this seriously, because as we're going to see, it is hugely powerful in terms of getting engagement, getting awareness, and really developing those relationships that we want at the heart of our digital activity. Right, so what is user-generated content? Let's start with a definition. I always tend to do this because then it kind of sets the baseline as to really what we're up to here. So user-generated content is any form of content in any kind of format, so video, text, audio, images, the whole thing, that's been posted online. And it includes content that really kind of extends on the debate or the conversation over and above what you might have already said about your products and services. So it can be self-help. So problem processing, answering questions about what you're doing without your involvement. It can obviously be posting reviews and information. And, you know, we've seen a lot of influencer activity where there's unboxing of products when they arrive on the doorstep. And, you know, that has become, you know, super, super influential. And it helps really the industry, and it helps the sector, and it helps everybody who's got a vested interest in it to understand a little bit more about you and your brands and your products and your services without your involvement. Okay. And this is really all about this. And this is why I call it Web 2.1, because this is about democratizing content production. In other words, this is you not being necessarily involved, but it's still happening about you. So the whole idea that media organizations, so the old traditional newspapers, the likes of the BBC, and, you know, sort of news owners, if you like, the people who are in traditional sense were the custodians of news, this has been all passed out way beyond them. So this is the whole idea of popular reporting from a consumer basis. So democratizing content production and the old hierarchies of, you know, somebody else owns the information and we have to consume it. No, you're part now of that creation of information, data, news, and really useful content. And as we're going to see, it is actually way, way more powerful than any kind of content, really, that you can produce as the owner of the brand. So real democratization, and that's why I'm really calling it Web 2.1. And it really does matter. You know, I've posted the question, you know, does UGC matter? Well, I would say it really, really does, because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. So you can choose to jump on this, or you can sort of sit back and think, hey, it's not, you know, I'm only small, it's not going to really impact me. But it will. Okay, so this is everything from your traditional kind of TripAdvisor reviews all the way through to influencer marketing and micro influencer marketing. So this is, you know, your customers just posting stuff about you. This isn't the big name influencers that we're talking about here. This is pretty much everybody. And also through to you choreographing campaigns so that you can help to influence the way that user-generated content manifests, you know, online, because there's an opportunity here to take a little bit of control back if you choose to. So I would pose the question here, can you really have a content marketing strategy without user-generated content? And for me, the answer is I don't think you can. Not a true strategy, because if you bury your head in the sand and say, well, this can't impact me because I'm not big enough for this to make a difference, well, you probably are, because I would suggest that everybody who has a customer in the broadest sense, so you could be public sector, you could be a commercial business, if you have a customer with a small c, then you definitely do have an opportunity here for people to be creating content about you. So you need to get part of this conversation. You need to get part of this sort of evolution, if you like, of the whole sort of content piece of things around your brand and your products and services that are going to be happening. So it is about paying attention. It is about really understanding, you know, what is it and why is it that people want to be talking about you? Why is it that people want to be consuming stuff over and beyond what you say you're sharing? So if you think, hey, we've got a lovely brand, we've got a lovely story, we're going to give them everything they need to hear to make a conscious decision about whether to engage with us, surely that's enough. Well, user-generated content research would say it actually isn't enough, because what's going on here is that there is this kind of psychological process that's happening in the background that is over and beyond you. People, obviously, as we know, as individuals, don't like to be lectured to. They want to be part of the conversation. They don't like to be told something. They like to have information revealed to them so they can make a choice and a judgment. So that's why user-generated content really resonates, because it hits people at both a practical and an emotional level. It allows them to take a little bit of control over the conversation. It allows them to choose what style and type of information they consume about you. So some of it, yes, is going to be things that you've produced. Some of it is going to be about deeper dives into the features and benefits and outcomes of your products and services that you offer. But it's also then about taking somebody's perspective who's already consumed this product or service and kind of hearing what it was like for them. So this is why reviews and influencers and kind of comments and message threads that are being done and shared in the real world are so super powerful, because it's something that's over and beyond your story. It's everyone's story. And so it's going to be engaging, really is going to be engaging at a practical and an emotional level. And this is what we're talking about when we talk about content and brand alignment. So it's about people experiencing and helping to shape how your brand is interpreted and perceived by the world. Okay, so it is over and beyond the story that you're telling. It's kind of what's in it for them from their perspective. So there's a lot of kind of empathy thing going on here. I'm doing an empathy webinar tomorrow, actually, for Cambridge Marketing College as part of the fortnightly series. And we're going to talk about that kind of that relationship between your perspective and the other's perspective. And that's really what's going on here. So really empathic marketers will be paying attention, because they'll know that brand alignment of what they're trying to say needs to be perceived in an accurate way, in a very collaborative way with the target audience. And you can only do that if you allow the target audience to share in the conversation and to speak. So it is about paying attention. It is about listening. It's about observing those little nuances of what content resonates, but also those conversations that are happening over and beyond you. Now, we know this is real, because think about what happens when you get a comment back, or you get something reposted or reshared from somebody who you value, particularly if it happens that within your industry or more broadly, you know, your favorite artist or celebrity might actually comment on or repost something that you've shared about them, or they've responded or they've liked. How does that make you feel? Well, you feel really included. And that's what user-generated content is all about. It's about getting close to the brand. So this is what your audience wants to get from you. So if they create something and you sit back and you just watch, but you don't then come back to them, well, maybe you're missing an opportunity, because you know how you feel if it happens to you. So of course, put the shoe on the other foot and look at it from their perspective. That is actually what's happening for them. And you don't have to be a big brand. You don't have to be a big, big, you know, world-renowned influencer to make this happen. This happens at a micro level. So customers love it when you come back to them with some kind of really thoughtful or empathic view, or you like a comment that they've made. They feel engaged. And we know this is true, because you think about what happens when it happens to you. So this is reality. This is not something from a marketing theory or marketing textbook. This is something that is real in the real world. So user-generated content, that starting of a debate, of a conversation, of a relationship, happens in both directions. So generally, it really has to be part of our content strategy. And so what happens if we do, you know, take a leap of faith and start to engage on this basis and accept that UGC is actually happening out there and that we need to be part of it? Well, there's a lot more in terms of this thing that I always call professional intimacy, and this kind of digital and marketing relationship that you have with your customers. So what's going on? Well, for the first instance, you are going to come across more authentically. There's a lot of studies, a lot of research on this, and I'm going to share with you some information that Hootsuite published recently. They're claiming that you have a more likelihood of people likely to view the content that you're sharing, 2.4 times more likely to view if they see some user-generated content that resonates with them. So, okay, that's a positive thing. So if you can be part of that conversation, the click through to you then to get the detail that you want to share is probably 2.4 times more likely to happen than if you post content yourself. interesting statistic is that there's a 90% trust of recommendations made from others. So, you know, if your content is being, you know, recommended, if your content is being reviewed, if your products and services are being shared by customers, and of course you can stimulate this by asking them to share, by asking them to review, by asking for their opinion. And we all get this personally, don't we, by email, the follow-up that comes after we've just purchased something. So why aren't we as marketers doing more of this? Because content is trusted 90%, at least 90% more, if the recommendation comes from somebody else rather than you saying it. So this is a way, if you can be part of the conversation, you're creating trust inadvertently without you actually creating any new content. So for me, this is a win-win because you get a great result without actually very much extra effort or without really putting the resources behind it. You're just having to listen, you're just having to engage, and you're just having to be really authentic in that conversation. 90% plus trusted content from recommendations from others. That to me sounds like a really positive thing. And it will drive actual engagement and conversion. So if you want people to buy a product, if you want people to behave in a certain way, because you know, you're doing social marketing, for example, so you're looking to change behaviors, 80% of people, according to this Hootsuite study, say they're likely to be influenced by user-generated content. So it will drive purchasing decisions. If people are sharing that they're having a great experience with you because they've created some content to say just that, and you're part of that, you've liked it, you've commented back, you've thanked them, gratitude is a great thing to building that relationship, then 80% of people say they will be influenced by that story. And you didn't have to go and create a new social media post. You didn't have to do a new article or a new video or a new podcast. This was happening despite you. But because you listen, because you're a part of the conversation, there's value to be had in there. So they say, what can you do to kind of take this thing forward? So what they're saying is that because it does make such a profound difference, it will create brand desire. So get close to this, start to kind of figure out how the comments that are being shared by customers, stakeholders, and sort of users of your products and services, understand how they're sharing that information. Showcase that brand loyalty. Now, this is where we're going to be using things like testimonials and reviews and those quotes. Always go back and thank the person for a really positive quote, because what happens then is you've got another opportunity to go back and connect with them. But it also gives you that permission. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the legalities about using user-generated content in a while. But in essence, really showcase that brand loyalty, because people love to have that confidence of making that sort of conscious conversion decision. In other words, actually, you know, clicking on the button that says, yes, I'm going to buy, or yes, I'll commit to this contract. If somebody else has been there before them and had a great experience, we know that to be true. And build a content library of this stuff. You know, don't just sort of rely on the next one that's coming. You can repurpose this. Even something that was 2, maybe 3 years old could still be very current if it's a relevant story that you're telling. So there's some lots of little things that we can do to make this both a strategic thing, but also tactically useful. So we've always got this content that we can, you know, call out and then, you know, sort of fall back on if we're just going through that stage of, you know, not having sort of too much to share right here, right now. And of course, what happens here is that because of the authenticity of what's actually going on behind the scenes here with this user-generated content, it means that we can really be perceived, probably quite correctly, as a lot more real and authentic and transparent in our marketing. A lot of brands can get caught out if they choose not to play in this because, you know, let's face it, as marketers, we all want to put the best possible face on the communications that we do. And for some of us, we do over market. So we will be using, you know, Photoshop and similar to kind of crop out unwanted things in photos to give that kind of really, really positive kind of light and shade and tonal sort of, you know, quality of voice voice, if you like, in the conversations and the content that we publish. So the reality and the things that we share may be actually stretching the truth in some ways. Now, of course, from a customer's perspective, looking at that, you know, we can get caught out. We can then find ourselves in really deep water, because that in itself then can be shared. And there's lots of examples of over-marketing on the internet. Little example here for some venues and hotels from instapage.com, where, you know, the reality with the angle of the photo and the stretching, if you like, of the truth means that we can get caught out. But of course, with user-generated content, that is real and people love it. And that is why TripAdvisor reviews within hospitality have become the thing, almost the benchmark for how you do this, because it is so, so important to get this thing right. And it's so, so important as part of this to be telling a true and authentic story. And user-generated content by itself, in its, you know, sort of, you know, truest form, is authentic. This is authenticity defined. You know, we spend a lot of time and energy crafting these perfect messages when actually what a customer really wants to see is the reality. Just give me what's true. Don't dress it up. Don't gloss it up. Don't make it look better than it is. I don't want to be entertained and then disappointed when I get the product or the service delivered to me, or when I turn up at the venue. Give me something that's real. Don't use stock imagery as well. Don't kind of dress this up into being something that's completely fake. But actually, give me something that people who have experienced it have truly, truly found to be real. So user-generated content is authenticity defined. People really find this authentic and real. And of course, ultimately, that is actually what we want to be sharing, because otherwise we're setting ourselves up for a big fall here. So if we're going to use this idea of generated content by customers or stakeholders or other users of our services, where's this actually going to fit then in what we might define as our customer journey? Well, the answer is absolutely everywhere. So at any point in the journey, so this could be to help people who are brand new to our brand or our service, it's the first time they've heard of us, to understand what it is we do. So it could fit in the awareness phase. It can definitely, definitely very powerfully fit just prior to the conversion point, because that is often where we want to read those testimonials. We want to see those case studies. We want to be sure that as we read that reference from a very happy customer, that it kind of relates to what we're looking for. And also in the retention phase, when people are coming back to just check out what we're up to now, well, they might want to read what we say, but they're also going to want to read about people just like them and how they're getting a great experience as they come back to either advocate or come back to repurchase. So it fits at every single point in the journey. So my question to you then really is, if you're still listening to this at this point, is can you afford not to have it throughout your customer journey? Because of course, if you decide, well, it sounds like an interesting thing to do, but I'm super busy right now, well, you do need to be very, very aware of what your competition, your competitors are doing. Because if you're not listening to this, you need to know, because otherwise they could be, and I would call this thing stealth poaching your customers, because we know the impact that user-generated content has on brands, but it isn't just you, it's going to be on your competition as well. And if you say, well, I haven't really got direct competitors because we're a little bit different, well, it's competitor for attention. And if you don't have your potential customers or your prospects' attention, they're never going to be engaging with you full stop, and you've lost them for good. So this is really important stuff. And so what I'd recommend is that as you start thinking about how can I get customer-generated content into the mix of things I do, the mix of things I say, into my content strategy, think about it at all three stages of the customer journey, because if you leave any of these little stones unturned, it allows a little space, a little opportunity for your competitors to sneak in. So what we're looking to do here is leverage this across every single touch point possible. In other words, from the very, very first time that the customer engages with us through the website, turning, you know, our website content into a truly engaging destination for kind of really high quality information. You know, if we're doing advertising, you know, let's actually create some kind of, as Stackler would describe it, thumb-stopping adverts that kind of beat banner blindness. I love that. Because, you know, we don't want to click on an advert, but if it's something that truly says, "Whoa, that's a bit different, that's really what that customer thought, wow, well, that's not the brand saying it, that's a proper testimonial," it will stop us in our tracks, hopefully, just long enough to maybe click through. And it certainly works on click through in email and potentially will reduce unsubscribes, because this is the real stuff. This isn't just, oh, here they go again, trying to sell me something. This is about, oh, so that's how they felt about it. And that's a customer just like me. Oh, look at them. Even the photo of them looks a little bit like me. So that's actually part of my world. Oh, that's interesting. That's the kind of emotional engagement you're looking for here. It can be massively, massively disruptive to all of that social and digital noise that goes on in our inboxes. And it will drive discovery, curiosity, and potentially conversion. And particularly if you're looking to integrate in your customer journey between the offline world and the online world. So you might have events, for example, using user-generated content at events. So actually asking people to tweet as they're actually in an event can be hugely powerful. You know, back in the day, it was all about, so, okay, you're here at my webinar or my conference, please switch your phones off and listen to me. Those days are gone. It's please switch your phones on and everything I say, please video me, please share, please quote me, please take photos of me on stage. This is not me talking. This is a person, you know, choreographing or comparing a particular event. This is what we want. We want that social buzz from extending the reach of what we're saying into what somebody's perceiving and then sharing onwards. And of course, this is pure social networking. And this is why it's so, so important, because there is actually a real hunger in the audience that you have. What we're looking to do is try and cut through the noise. This is the key. We know that people love high quality content. We all do. But what we don't like is just lots of generic noise, lots of generic selling through social media particularly. We don't want that. But what we want is content that resonates. And we want content that's going to save us time, because, of course, it's user generated content. Stackler, one of the providers of social platforms, particularly in this UGC space, and I'll give you some examples of, you know, some of the platforms that really I would suggest are worth checking out first in a short while. But they say that you can save up to a third of your time in content production by embracing user-generated content. And if you're looking to advertise, well, you can save up to two-thirds of the cost of the resources. So that's your budget, that's your people, and that's your time in producing paid advertising, for example, by using user-generated content. So not only is it more engaging, not only does it cut through the noise, but there's actually a practical cost and time saving that goes along with this thing. So if you're still there, sat there thinking, oh, I'm still not sure if it's for me, we're loading up the benefits here that we really must have user-generated content within our strategies. I'm actually almost to the point now of convincing myself to put this in there. So who's doing this stuff well? Okay, so I've got some examples for you. I was looking around as I was putting this webinar together and thinking, okay, so from what I've seen and what others are kind of sharing is, I won't say best practice because, you know, is there such a thing, but some really, really cool examples of organizations who are doing it well. One organization who are certainly doing this very, very well, and it really is driving sales and growth, and we see this through, you know, both their paid and their organic content, is Wayfair. If you are looking for any kind of product or sort of thing for around the home, everybody is now, because of big ad campaigns, but also through their very, very effective use of user-generated content in social, particularly things like Instagram. They are using user-generated content to encourage their user, so their Instagram users, to share photos of their products actually in their homes. Because, of course, if they do a photo shoot, this will be like a perfect scenario with, you know, perfect lighting, with perfect, almost kind of, could use the word fake, sort of, you know, experience there. Whereas actual Instagram users have bought the product and have got it in a real home, in a real life setting. We've already seen the statistics that say how significantly that will impact on the people who view it. And of course, because it goes out on those other people's Instagram feeds, there's the increase of reach. And what Instagram obviously offers up, as most other social networks do, is the opportunity to be hashtagging. So Wayfair will say for particular products, particular sort of categories of product that they're doing, is they will have very, very specific hashtags. And their generic hashtag is Wayfair at home. So hashtag Wayfair at home, they're asking customers to share your style using hashtag Wayfair at home. And of course, that allows them to track that as a hashtag and then give a shout out to anybody who does share their product or style or their home with the product in situ. So a lovely, simple way of just tracking and watching and seeing all their wonderful products in situ in customers' homes, with all those statistics that say just how much better that is going to be in terms of driving conversion. Another way that you can do it, there's a organization called Dover Saddlery, and this obviously is not a great big global brand, far from it. It's a local business who are using an Instagram feed to embed content that is actual customer content, again, using hashtags. The hashtag is It's from Dover, in the riding sense. So they're a saddlery with a lot of equestrian products that they offer through their store, but automated feed onto their website. So the website is not requiring them to go out and do lots of photo shoots, but it's actually horse riders and equestrian and horse lovers and owners actually using the products themselves. So automatically feeding into their website. Yes, they have to police it and watch that all the images that are being captured there are suitable, but it gives them a huge opportunity just using a social media aggregator, such as something like Curator. I'm going to have a little look at curator.io for the product they're using to integrate this into their website. Many others are available, but this is a nice simple one to use. And again, it's about using authentic imagery and product information, but user-generated content. So it just allows us again to be populating on a live basis without us really looking to do too much in the way of content production ourselves. Here's a nice one. I did talk a little bit earlier about, you know, your favorite artist or your favorite musician producing content that kind of resonates with them, and maybe they'll even give you a shout out. Well, this is a really great example of one particular artist who gets very, very close to his fans by doing just that. So Bruno Mars on his website we'll be allowing, you know, user-generated content and posts to come in, photos from his concerts, photos of people, his fans actually listening to his content, maybe doing dance moves or imitating some of the stuff that he does. And he will give a shout out. He will selectively put messages onto the content that he sees from a UGC perspective to build that engagement. And what do fans want? They want to get really close to their artists and their favorite musicians. So this allows that real professional intimacy to develop. Yes, it's not going to be with every single post, but it doesn't have to be. Just the pure chances of getting that shout out are enough to get literally millions of engagements in this way. And here's one that I really like. This isn't a particularly new one, but it still, for me, is right up there at the top of the tree in terms of using user-generated content on a kind of a viral basis. Now, a lot of people say, can we create a viral campaign? Well, in isolation, probably statistically, no. But what you can do is you can use the concept of user-generated content to spread your message in a kind of a semi-viral way, way beyond the way that you could do it elsewhere. The example here that I'm sharing with you is Shakira's Girl Like Me campaign, which was a huge, huge campaign that literally had millions upon millions of people engaging using hashtag Girl Like Me Challenge, where Shakira challenged in a song release that she did with the Black Eyed Peas, she challenged her fans to dance like her. So she would perform the dance with the hashtag Girl Like Me challenge against it. And all of her fans, and of course the Black Eyed Peas fans as well, started to create user-generated content by trying to mimic the dance routine, putting it onto TikTok as well as onto Instagram. And of course, the thing goes viral. 274 million views later, this one hashtag has created, you know, a real groundswell of user-generated content, with all the big fans of Shakira really trying to outdo other fans. And it became, because it was quite a complex dance routine, it was perfectly suited for a TikTok challenge, and of course also replicated across other social networks. So it became something that was super engaging, but also as well, from Shakira's perspective, not only driving record sales for the new song, but also in terms of driving that kind of I'm only one step away from Shakira mindset in her fan base. So to me, that's just a really neat way. You do something, you see the content, you include a hashtag that other people are going to jump onto, and you watch and monitor how that user-generated content takes shape and form after it. Doesn't have to be at the Shakira kind of level globally. You can do this within your own little sector, and that's the key. So if you want to start doing this, where do you begin? Well, there are many, many user-generated content platforms now that really kind of specialize in this. So I'm just going to highlight three to you: Stackler, Tagbox, and Tint. And I'm just going to give you a brief little kind of explanation as to why I've selected these, really. Well, Stackler is one of the early sort of people into the market for this. They do a lot of blogs. They do a lot of kind of useful statistic and justification if you have to kind of sell this on within your organization to others as to why this would be a good thing to do. They've got a lot of good content in there, a lot of great testimonials, a lot of great sort of supporting material. And it's a strong platform if imagery is your way forward. So they're very kind of image driven. And what they do is they will basically combine, as you start to increase the information with them, they will combine user-generated content from a variety of different sources. So it's a really useful way of actually combining onto one platform, into one space, things that are coming from different places. Next one I want to mention is Tagbox, which includes a widget that gives you the opportunity to have feeds from a number of different places, but that also pushes out to a number of other different places. So you can do this within social media marketing. You can do this within your email campaigns, but it will also push out some user-generated content galleries to your website, for example. And you can base it around particular topic areas and particular topic themes, but also obviously the big thing about hashtags. So you can start to run some really carefully targeted hashtag campaigns. And if you notice what's happened, one of the key themes that we've covered here as we've gone through this webinar is the power of the hashtag. To me, you can't really do effective user-generated content without hashtags. So start to think as one of your basic building blocks when you're building your content strategy. And if you're going to be using user-generated content within your strategy for content, is think about hashtags that could resonate. Research what your competitors are doing. Also look at some of the hashtags that you might have used before, because hashtags really are the consistent fuel that will bond all of these things together. And if you want to push things a little bit further, you can start to push the boundaries into an early stage AI. Okay, so what Tint does, Tint being the third one that I'm recommending you go and have a little look at, and all of these have free trials. They are paid for services if you go for the premium end of the scale on these platforms, but Tint will allow you to do some stuff at a very clever level within their free trial. And what Tint does is it uses AI to do some interrogation of imagery that it finds. So the other two are very, very heavily focused on hashtags for bonding and finding sort of like-minded and similar user-generated content and imagery. What Tint does, it does that, but it also looks at the imagery itself. So it will be using some very, very clever algorithms and some really advanced AI technologies to start to read the images. So it will find your product or your service cleverly within images that it spots on the internet. So this is clever, clever stuff. This is kind of next gen user-generated content interrogation. So it gives you an opportunity to be doing a much deeper dive, way beyond stuff that probably your competitors are doing right now. They will be stuck alone. If they're doing this, they'll be stuck alone within the hashtag space. You can do that, but you can also extend it to the next gen level with something like Tint. And Tint does what all the others do as well. It allows you to do stuff through emails, through product pages that you can create. And the really interesting thing for me, and this was where I first found Tint many, many years ago, before they kind of got into this UGC space in a big way from an AI perspective, was their social wall. And if you do anything that's in the real world, have a little look at their social wall options, because they've got a number of templates that allow you to capture all of that user-generated content and put it up on a social board. So if you're doing events or if you're doing stuff that you want to put up on a big screen, it's a great way of bonding people in the room, because they will get to see their own post up on the big screen. So if you're doing conferences, fairs, events, and hosting these kinds of things, and you have big screens, it's a great way of creating engagement, because people love to see their own stuff. And you can also do that within signage in store. So again, it's this lovely way of kind of blending the real world and the digital world. So those three I would suggest you have a little look at: Stackler and Tint being the two kind of ones that are pushing the boundaries here, and Widgetbox being another that is kind of maybe a little bit more traditional, but very much the power in the palm of your hand. But I would say, with all this positive opportunity out there, still be careful, okay? There is one little word of warning here that I want to leave you with as we approach the end of this webinar. And this is about taking care with user-generated content. Now, as you will know, if an image or specific piece of content created by somebody else is out there in the big wide world, you cannot, even if it talks about you and shares your stuff, you cannot lay claim to it, okay? So image, particularly in imagery, image is the big one here, the image is owned by the creator. Okay, the IP rests with them unless they assign it over to you. And that's why it's important when you're doing a photo shoot that the photographer assigns the IP of the imagery and the model release. So if you're using actual models within, as is human models, within the photo shoot, that they sign model release forms so that they release the ownership of the imagery to you. Well, the same principle applies with user-generated content. Okay, so what you need to do is make sure you get the rights and the permission to use the content that you're sharing. Okay, so if somebody else creates some content, they take some photography, and you say, I'm going to use this for promotional purposes and use it for remarketing and for marketing, to have, maybe the phrase here that would be really worth thinking about is for commercial gain. Okay, so over and beyond just sharing a positive story, that's something different, which I'll mention in a moment. This is for commercial gain. Then rights management law will say that you need to get permission. Okay, they're probably not going to give you the full IP rights to that imagery, but you do need to get permission. Okay, and you need that permission in writing. So it's an email, it's a confirmation on social media. You need to get that in writing. So you cannot just use, for commercial gain, somebody else's image. The challenge will be that if you do and you think, oh, it won't really matter, they have the right to charge you what they feel is fair for the use of that image. And you may come unstuck, because they may deem, and unfortunately for you, the level of pricing here rests with the owner. It's not a negotiation, it rests with the owner. They can call the shots. So you might find that you get a hefty invoice come through in the post that you don't want to be having. So get that permission. Now, of course, the fair use principle here also applies. So if you're not doing it for necessarily commercial gain, but you're using it to build a community, if you're using it and it's already in the public domain, you're using it to share a story that isn't for commercial gain, but that just builds the community's understanding of something or the engagement with something, you could challenge that that is fair use. So when I talk about the example of using user-generated content at an event, what you'll probably say is, well, that was to build the community, that was to build the storytelling, that was to build the engagement and the intimacy of the event, and that would be fair use. But if you begin to then use it for remarketing, advertising, or commercial purposes, you need to get the permission. So the simple process here to do this then is to collect the information. So you're looking out there in the big wide world to see what user-generated content's out there. You curate it, in other words, you bring it in using some of the platforms that we talked about before. You bring it into one place so that you can decide what you're going to then want to republish. You get the rights to the stuff, so you get the permission to do it if you're looking to use it. You align it with the brand. So if it was somebody sharing an image of them using your product or service out in the fields, up the mountain, in the high street, wherever it was, now you've got permission to use that image, you can put your brand on it. You then publish it appropriately. And we know about our content strategy and the rule of thirds and all of those things that we would do to create a proper, nicely balanced content plan. So you publish it. And then, of course, we mustn't forget, with all great content publishing, we need to analyze what happened, because it is just another form of content. But because it was created by somebody else, because it has that authenticity stamp of it wasn't us, it was this person over here that said it, it comes with all that added value. So it's a simple thing to do. It's cost effective. It's very time saving. But we do need to think about it in a safe and secure way. So fair use, absolutely no problem at all. But if it's beyond that, then think about getting that permission. And so those simple steps really should help you to be using user-generated content in a very productive way within your digital marketing and content creation. And I would suggest, if you've followed me all the way through to this, if you're here live, thank you very much for attending this one today. Or if you're watching this on catch up through any of the social media sort of channels that I put this one out on, or you're watching it on Slack if you're one of Cambridge Marketing College's apprentices, or you're listening to it on either of the podcasts. This may well be going out on the Cambridge Marketing podcast. It will definitely be going out soon on the Neil Wilkins podcast. That's mine. And if you're not following those two, I'd love to welcome you to both of those. And I would encourage you to start today. Have a little look at those platforms, see whether something resonates. Do a little bit of search on your brand online and see whether or not people are already out there talking about you. And I would suggest beginning today, do something right now, because as we all know with this stuff, is if you don't start today, you really, really won't start at all. So thank you so much for listening to this. I hope you found this useful, this whole idea about increasing your content strategy, engagement and content strategy depth and breadth using user-generated content. And I'll be coming back to you again very, very soon with more content and information in this series. So thank you so much for attending, and good luck if you choose to take yourself onto this journey.